This is SBS Audio.
Kajian menunjuk bahawa dengan adanya polisi yang bersesuaian, pengambilan pelarian oleh kerajaan Australia mampu menyumbang terhadap pertumbuhan ekonomi negara ini. Dalam episod SBS Examines kali ini, SBS Bahasa Melayu meninjau komentari politik terhadap isu pelarian sepanjang kempen pilihan raya baru-baru ini serta meneliti tren dan komentari yang berleluasa di media sosial. Ketara wujud pelbagai maklumat palsu mengenai kos pengambilan pelarian ke negara ini yang menimbulkan sikap perkauman di kalangan warga Australia terhadap golongan pelarian yang serba keperluan. Persoalannya, berapakah jumlah sebenar kos polisi pelarian Australia dan apakah perubahan yang perlu dilaksanakan bagi memasti keutamaan diberi terlebih dahulu terhadap isu hak asasi manusia berbanding jumlah kos melaksanakan polisi terbabit.
We've spent over $13 billion in sending people to places of offshore detention. That works out on average over that time to be over $500,000 per person who we are sent offshore.
Demikian menurut Iana Favero, Timbalan Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif Pusat Bantuan Pemohon Suaka Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. Favero merujuk kepada laporan belanjawan Jabatan Immigration dan Kawalan Sempadan berkaitan jumlah kos pusat tahanan lepas pantai atau offshore yang dikenalikan oleh Kerajaan Australia.
We had had it previously and it was abolished for a reason because it was expensive and it harmed people. So not only are we breaching our international obligations, but it's also a huge amount of money that we are spending to punish people.
Obligasi Australia menerima pemohon suaka tertakluk di bawah Konvensyen Pelarian Pertubuhan Bangsa-Bangsa Bersatu 1951. Katanya, kaedah pengambilan pelarian yang kini dilaksanakan oleh Kerajaan Australia boleh dianggap kejam dan tidak cost-efektif.
It's really just about politics and goes to people wanting to demonize others to create fear to win votes. If you talk about the values, if you talk about the economic cost, if you talk about the right thing to do, we also did some polling before the election which showed that the majority of Australians of every voting persuasion thought we should treat people with compassion, not cruelty.
Sebaliknya, Iana Favero mengesyorkan supaya pemohon suaka diproses di Australia.
The comprehensive plan that was brought in under Malcolm Fraser meant that we welcomed and we resettled people directly into Australia. So they weren't having to risk their lives, so you've got that humane element. Then they were also coming in and contributing to Australia. Whereas now we've got the opposite, that we're spending a lot of money not only on offshore detention, but we're also denying so many people in our community, people who are seeking asylum, the right to work and right to study. So that means they can't actually work, they can't sustain themselves.
When I was in construction site, other refugee, they were asking me why you are working in this tough environment. You are speaking English, you have built a network, you finish university. How come you work in this environment? We have no other choice.
Sementara itu, Hidayat Osian ialah pengasas pertubuhan Community Construction, sebuah enterprise sosial yang memberi peluang pekerjaan kepada pelarian dan pemohon suaka. Pada tahun 2009, Hidayat yang ketika itu berusia 17 tahun berjaya melarikan diri dari rejim Taliban di Afghanistan.
My mom told me you have to leave Afghanistan because this time they're going to take you like you dead, and I had no choice.
Setelah berjaya melarikan diri dari Kabul, perjalanan pelarian Hidayat melihat beliau menuju ke Dubai, kemudian ke Malaysia sebelum beliau tiba di Indonesia, di mana beliau telah diseludup masuk ke Australia melalui bot.
We lost our identity and our freedom. We were in the hand of people smuggler. After 9 days when we arrived in the international water, the Australian Navy, they came and they rescue us and they take us to Christmas Island.
Setelah 3 bulan dalam pusat tahanan pelarian di Pulau Christmas, Hidayat dihantar ke pusat tahanan di Melbourne selama 1 bulan sebelum diberi hak untuk bermastautin di negara ini.
Pretty much I start from very scratch. I went to English class and then high school. When I finished my high school, I was very passionate to do my university because in Afghanistan, I was from a minority ethnic group and they have not gave us equal opportunity to go to university.
Pada tahun 2016, Hidayat mendapat pekerjaan sebagai buruh kasar di tapak pembinaan yang membolehkan beliau mengumpul wang untuk melanjutkan pengajian doctorate beliau.
During this time, I found that a lot of refugees, they are struggling to find job. And they said, still we want to work because we want to support our family. We don't want to be on Centrelink benefit. We want to contribute. And from that time, I decided to do something for them.
Pada mulanya, Pertubuhan Hidayat berjaya memberi pekerjaan kepada 15 orang pelarian.
They are very hard worker and they really appreciate the second chance. For example, when I renovate a bathroom, if I contract with a normal company, take many weeks to finish. But when I have my refugee employee, they can finish in just 1 week because they put their energy, put all their resources and they want to really finish the job on time.
Sejak itu, Community Construction berjaya menyiapkan lebih 300 buah projek pembinaan dan kini mempunyai bilangan pekerja seramai 300 orang pelarian yang datang ke negara ini. Hidayat menggesa kerajaan Australia mempertingkatkan lagi peluang pekerjaan kepada golongan pelarian yang mampu menyumbang kepada masyarakat umum di negara ini.
I'm receiving at least 5 applications every day from refugees. They want to work. They want to contribute. They want to support their families. They don't want to be on Centrelink, but there's no equal opportunities.
Allowing an asylum seeker to live in the community while their protection claim is processed on a bridging visa costs around $4,000 a year. That also enables people to live within the community rather than in a detention centre and to be able to be supported here while their claim is processed. It doesn't have to be expensive to set up these extremely elaborate policies that Australia has done, which ultimately are aimed at deterrence rather than protection.
Dalam pada itu, Professor Jane McAdam ialah pengasas Pusat Pengajian Perundangan Pelarian Caldor di University of New South Wales. Menurut beliau, Australia perlu melihat Switzerland sebagai contoh paling baik sebuah negara yang mengutamakan hak asasi manusia dengan kehendak ekonomi.
So, for instance, estimated that the Swiss reforms could produce an annual net saving for the Swiss government of 80 million euros.
Manakala, Dina Yako ialah salah seorang pengarah di Majlis Pelarian Australia. Yako, yang dahulunya juga seorang pelarian, menggesa kerajaan mempercepatkan lagi proses untuk membenarkan golongan pelarian mula bekerja setibanya mereka di Australia.
I haven't met one person that hasn't come to Australia and has not wanted to learn the language, have an education, have a better future for their lives and their, you know, children's lives. There's not one person I've spoken with and have said, oh, no, but I'd rather just stay at home and you know, be on welfare. There's no such thing as that.
Yako mahu golongan pelarian diberi peluang menyumbang kepada ekonomi negara ini.
Usually the economic argument is that, you know, refugees are coming here and they're like costing the government a lot of money. But rather than looking at that, I think we have to look at their contributions. We don't want to be often portrayed as burden on public services or welfare systems or housing, but we want to be part of the conversation. We want to be able to contribute, but given the opportunity to contribute.
Episod ini diterbitkan bersama oleh Olivia Diorio dan disampaikan oleh Zaini Ahmad. Untuk maklumat lanjut, sila layari sbs.com.au/sbsexamines atau sbs.com.au/Malay.